We just stepped on their face with a hobnail boot and broke their nose.
Well, how about them fucking dogs? That's what I told them.
Hope it didn't take that long again. Go dogs.
Ladies and gentlemen of Dog Nation, what is going on? It's your boy Lamar Lovelace. We are back in the building. We got my man Graham Coffee. We got Trigger Trey. And we got the DGD himself, Mr. George Foster. Fellas, what's going on this week?
Like I said, like we've been saying every week, we alive, we done won, you know, we got back to winning big this week. I was in the house to see that, so I'm happy. It was a good weekend.
Yeah, man, we saw the videos that you posted for 100 Sanford Podcast. We saw those were crisp too. Still, what you had?
Hey, man. I'm playing, man. I just know how to work it, man. If I'm pay all that money for an iPhone, I'm gonna make it do what it do.
We got Graham Coffee who just joined. Graham, check this out.
That boy got the fade.
Yes, he got the fresh one. That's what I was just gonna say.
Just got back from the barbershop, bro.
You can't see Stetson though.
Yeah, I was gonna start calling you Graham Avius, but you know, we can't call you Graham Avius.
Stetson went to the hood for that one.
Oh yeah, Stetson went to the hood. He went to the hood barbershop and got that.
I'm not that cool.
Man, Graham, we was all set, man. We got George a new mic, and his mic didn't. Amazon let us down today. So he's
Amazon
going to
let us down mic, today.
The new Barry White voice and everything.
I was gonna give y'all the real deal voice. You know, my quiet storm. But next week.
Gee, they don't know nothing about that quiet storm. They don't know nothing about putting on that radio, listening to that quiet storm, and putting them to sleep. They don't know nothing about that.
Not the youngsters. We got two youngsters on there with us right now.
I don't know. Graham's married. He might throw on that quiet storm out there in Colorado. They got quiet storm out there in Colorado?
Nah, I can't lie. I don't know what y'all are talking about.
I knew it. I could tell by looking on his face. He had no idea what a quiet storm is. But so let me hit you the quiet storm before we get into some football. We're gonna hit you what the quiet storm
is. Sir.
Quiet storm is late night radio, urban radio, where it's probably gonna be somebody on, man or woman, with a nice silky voice, and they playing nothing but slow jams all night. And when we were young, we just sit there and listen to the slow jam. You might call a little tender that you're trying to get with. You got the slow jams playing, the quiet storm playing in the background. That's what the quiet storm is.
See, us white folks, we grew up with Delilah. Y'all remember Delilah? Late night.
What's that?
No, she was syndicated all over. She was a late night radio host. And you know, I wasn't like slow jams, but you know, it was kind of like
might be some classic rock, soft rock.
Yeah, but like you know, like yacht rock type stuff, like some jazzy kind of influence to it. But or like you know some like some Doobie Brothers or some Steely Dan kind of stuff.
Brian Adams.
We're gonna have to post that. We're gonna have to post that on the 100 podcast on Twitter site, man. Do a poll and find out like what everybody listened to, you know. So because you know, black folks had the Quiet Storm. You had Delilah. I wonder what country folks had. You know what I mean? Like
it's probably some.
They had. I do remember when I was living in Georgia, there was a station that would do Solid Country Gold on Saturday nights. And like,
you know, country gold.
So yeah, it would be like you know, like Patsy Cline type stuff. You know,
nice.
Okay,
that is funny. Real that is too music. Funny. Hey man, but hey, before we get going, let me do this, man. The 100 Sanford Podcast is powered up by the Roll Up Network and our sponsor Gramco. That's right, the Delta A company based out of Florida, founded by college football junkies just like you and me. You got to go over to the Gramco and get that stuff, man. You got to get the roll-ups. They got the gummies. They got the vapes. They got everything you need. So go over to thegramco.com, T-H-E-G-R-A-M-C-O.com. Put in the promo code SAMFOR25 for 25% off, and you will get that good stuff from Gramco. Again, we will preference it by saying you take that test, you're going to get popped. So make sure that you are using Gramco products the right way and when you are supposed to be using them.
But you're going to get some good sleep, too.
Yeah, you will.
Boy, I got a good sleep the other night. Boy, oh, my God.
It'll actually it'll take you to a bad game.
I woke up well rested.
Yeah, man, you will get some good stuff. Some good stuff. But yeah, man, it was a good weekend. The Dogs played. My son played. Just good weekend all around, man. I hope everybody had a good weekend as we return today. Talk about some Georgia football.
I see young Lamar was out there scooting, wasn't he?
Yeah, man, two weeks in a row. This week he did it for Pap, man. It was my dad's birthday this past weekend, so he said,
okay,
I'm gonna go out there, I'm gonna score one for Pap. And I ain't gonna lie, man, the team that they were playing, they were doing them dirty. And I told my son, I said, look, you gotta make something happen. So he went out there, caught the little screen pass, boom, took it 65 yards for the touchdown. And nice. He just pointed up to the sky for Pap, even though Pap's alive, but he just, you know, pointed over. he was pointing over anyway, up. So I said, there's my guy. Yeah, man, he's doing it the right way. So he's excited by that. But it's always good to see the young kids do what they do and having fun, especially after you see, like I said, you see the Dogs play, and that's his goal, that's his vision, to one day play on that level. But big weekend for Georgia. You know, we wanted to see these guys get back on the field at Sanford Stadium, do what they do. They had a lot of recruits in the building, quite honestly. Let's talk about that real quick before we talk about that game. He had a lot of recruits, like I said, in the building. We got a commitment from Roderick Robinson from San Diego, the running back, 6'1", 230. That was a big hole that needed to be filled because we had not had another running back recruit in this class. And also Sakovi White, the 2024 wide receiver / DB, who will be on the show tonight. Can't wait to talk to him. So two big recruits. And I think we got some other ones that are coming down the pipe. We won't talk about it right now, but it was a big weekend for the Dogs. Graham, what'd you think about what happened against Auburn? And let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I think the good obviously was like that offensive line really, really dominated the line of scrimmage for the first time all year, I felt like. You know, we spent all this time last week talking about gap scheme versus zone, and then they came out and they basically did both 50-50 again like they have been all year, but they looked really good blocking both concepts in the run game. I'm sure George can give us, you know, a little more in-depth kind of observations on that, but I just – it was nice to see – Georgia feeling like RBU, you know, and they got one in Branson, man. Like that kid's special. I think we're going to see more and more of them, especially with Milton dinged up. You know, there's really three backs now with McIntosh, Edwards, and Robinson. And I feel like they like to get at least half of McIntosh's touches in the pass game. So a good preview of that kind of Edwards-Robinson duo. I think we're going to see those guys, you know, for not just the rest of this season, but next year as well. The passing game, it was a frustrating day, right? Like, I mean, at the end of the day, you look up and Stetson had 200 yards, but 25 yards passing in the first half. The one that I think was really, like, I think frustrating to watch was just that missing Bowers wide open right before the half. Like the ball to McConkie in the second half, I felt like Ladd kind of like slowed up, took a stutter step. Like I thought that was a good throw that should have been caught, but you get number 19, 5 yards clear of the defense. Like that's just one you got to hit. Right. And I'm sure Stetson would say the same thing. Now that we've got the running game going, it feels like the last thing that we haven't really seen click into place for this offense is that, like, vertical passing game. You know, throws of 20-plus yards were really Stetson's strength last year, and it hasn't been so far this year. They've really struggled connecting on them, especially since A.D. Mitchell went out. My hope is that this running game, looking the way it does, is going to allow them to run some more play action, open up some more deep shots. But I kind of feel like we're not going to see Georgia in its final form until we get to Florida and beyond with Jalen Carter out, Nady Mitchell out, and Arian Smith still working his way back. Like, you can kind of see this team heading towards peaking at the right time. But I'm hesitant to make any, like, broad statements on what they are or aren't until we see them with all of those stars back on the field.
Graham, real quick before we go to somebody else on that, I know you got the inside scoop on what's happening at practice. What's the deal on A.D. Mitchell and Arian Smith? How are they rehabbing and coming back? When can we look?
Yeah, so A.D., I don't know if you noticed, but he was on the field for 3 snaps on Saturday.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we shared this with the Dog Central subscribers yesterday. Sounds like he kind of that ankle did not respond well to being on the field. So it feels like it's kind of a little bit of a setback. I don't think we're going to see him till Florida. Arian Smith is one of those where he's continuing to progress on a good track. You know, he's getting better and better. There haven't been any setbacks with his recovery, but also I think they see him as kind of the key piece to take the top off of defenses. And I don't think they're going to risk him. I don't know how much we'll see him against Vanderbilt. You know, it would be nice to see him come out and run a couple deep routes and just see what happens. But I think they really are, you know, kind of being very careful with him considering his history. And I don't think we're going to really see him on the field too much until we get to the Floridas and the Tennessees and that home stretch of the regular season.
Facts. George, you were in the building. What'd you think about the performance against Auburn? I mean, we had your cousin on the show last week. I'm sure you won a good bet with him. I'm sure he got you some ribs and some chicken and some greens and all that other kind of stuff he owed you. So what would you think?
First of all, it was just a wonderful day, man. The weather was, man, chef's kiss. It was just a great day. The crowd was lively. It seemed like everybody was just happy to be in the building. It was a slow start, man. You know, so it had you wondering, okay, what are we gonna do today? But then they kicked it in the gear, man, and it was great to see the running backs get off. I feel like Branson is getting closer and closer to being what we know he can be. You know what I mean? He's picking his feet up. He's not going down easy. You know, that's a powerful young man right there. And he runs like it. I don't think a lot of people are not going to want to really tackle him. Shoot, and man, Dejan was running tough too. He's trucking guys, you know.
Yeah, he was.
like for real. You know what I mean? So I like the way the running backs look. I think that 65-yard run by Stetson, we know he can run, but that was different.
Yeah.
You know, so that was different. So that kind of, you have to, if you're a team going forward, that's going to be in the back of your head.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, this guy could take off and hurt us for real. Whether designed or whether improvisational, you know what I mean? So I like that part of it. And we can go back. We were talking about recruits and stuff, man. There's some good-looking kids down there this past weekend too, man. Some great-looking kids.
Did you get a chance to talk to any of the recruits that were in the building, or what's up?
I didn't get a chance to talk to any recruits, but I saw a ton of them, man. You can see there's just some big, tall kids, man. These kids are different. These are a different breed of kids, man. And the Dogs put on a good show for them. So it was good to see all that. I sat up there in the family section. It was good to see, you know, just everybody rooting their kids on. And you can see from that perspective, guys on the field walking off looking for family in the stands, and I just brought back some memories.
Yeah. What do you think, Trey? You watched the game?
Well, I think it was a great overall game, even though I still couldn't believe Stetson ran that fast on that 60-yard run. That was crazy. I ain't never seen Stetson run that fast.
Look, they say white men can't jump, but look, white men can run. That's all I know, because Stetson was out on that one, right? Yeah. Stegwavius was gone.
Yeah, Stetson was gone. That man, he outran some safeties. I'm like,
you see him, the angles, I was like, y'all got to – either he's very fast or y'all got to be very embarrassed.
Man, I'm telling you.
About letting the quarterback house y'all like that.
And then I know Stetson's neck was hurting that Sunday morning, but I know that neck was hurt. Hey, sure, he wasn't gonna get tackled.
Right.
Yeah, he kept looking back and forth, side to side. That was yeah, they had a good game, man. I'm like George. They started off a little bit slow, which was okay. I'm okay with them starting off slow and then them being able to kick it into high gear, because I think the defense set the tone early. I mean, they made sure they chased Robbie Ashford all over the building. They didn't give up anything in the run game. They didn't allow Auburn to even get their footing. So it allowed the offense to kind of gain its footing. And then, like you said, with the run game, I mean, they put the pedal to the metal, man, right there. 292 yards on the ground. Like we already talked about, Branson Robinson, 98 yards rushing. But everybody had a great day running the football, even going down to Kendall Milton, who had two carries for 13 yards. So, and, you know, obviously he went out with the groin injury, but being able to run the football, to me, is paramount right now. And Graham, you alluded to it, with not being able to pass the ball effectively downfield. And I think that's what's really hurting their pass game, and actually hurting Stetson's pass game a little bit, because he needs that comfortable pocket to throw in, to be able to hit some of the guys that he wants to be able to hit downfield. And he hasn't had that the last few weeks. And a lot of that, in my opinion, can be attributed to them not being able to have that explosive downfield option. And I think people forget that. You go back to the Oregon game, you have A.D. Mitchell, right? You got Smith. You got guys that can really, really, truly take the top off the defense. So all your intermediate stuff is all open all over the field. And one thing about it, I know we're going to get to Vanderbilt, but if you can do that against Vanderbilt, that intermediate game, I mean, you should be able to look for your tight ends to have an outstanding day against Vanderbilt underneath, throwing underneath and throwing some of these intermediate routes, because I don't think they're going to get a lot of deep stuff. They still don't have that guy that can take the top off the defense, but they should have a big day intermediate-wise. But I was impressed. I was impressed how they responded. We needed that coming off the two games, you know, against Missouri, against Kent State, where people were like, you know, what's going on with this offense? But to really get that run game going, to really get those offensive linemen leaning on the defensive line, for Auburn and really pounding them, I thought that was a big deal. I mean, they really beat them into submission, going all the way down towards the end of the game, and they only gave up one big play defensively. I thought that defensively they played well. They harassed Robbie Ashford, like I said, the entire game. I like to see more sacks. I like to see them take down the quarterback, maybe cause a few different turnovers, which we did not do yet. Or did not do in that game, but it was a pretty good productive game, I thought. Defensively, what did you guys think? Any thoughts on that defense and that performance?
I was just about to say, you know, we all want to sacks and stuff, and but I think we, for the most part, you know, in a lot of the games, we've affected the quarterback, you know, pretty well. And that's what you really want to do, you know. When you affect the quarterback, it opens up the possibility for a lot of different stuff, especially, you know, turnovers. You know what I mean? Whether it's sack fumbles, whether it's picks. Just getting the quarterback uncomfortable, getting them off the square is, you know, shoot, that's just as important as sacks. You know what I mean? To me, and I think they have some games where they do that pretty well. And I don't think Kirby or anyone, I don't think the staff is concerned about, you know, sacks, or at least I haven't heard.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I thought was a really good sign was that, you know, I mean, they had 18 pressures on Saturday, which was the most they've had all year on against anyone, but like seven of those came from the defensive tackles, even with Jalen Carter out. And so, right. like, the way Barry Alexander is starting to look is a little reminiscent of Devontae Wyatt from last year. And I'm like, you start kind of looking ahead, and it's like, well, all of a sudden it's going to be really hard to double-team Jalen if this dude's down here getting, you know. I mean, he had four pressures on Saturday, which was was tied with Nolan Smith for the most on the team. Like, doing that from right over center really, really affects offense. So, I mean, I think that's something to be excited about and something to continue watching, because feels like he's sort of making a spot for himself in that rotation on the defensive line. And that would be a very large help to the secondary, because, I mean, I thought that was the big thing last year, was Georgia's defense got to the quarterback so much that the secondary never really had to cover for more than 2 or 3 seconds, right? So if they can continue on that path, it's going to be helpful when they get to some of these more explosive passing games.
You know, Graham, I was going to bring that up too, with Bear Alexander. Now, you brought up Devontae Wyatt as a comp, and I think that's probably the best comp. I think when he made a couple explosive plays, there were some people that tweeted or some people that texted, "Oh my gosh, it's like Carter. He's not Carter. He's not Carter's body type, but he's a more explosive Devontae Wyatt to me." And I like the way that he slimmed his body down. The UGA got his body into great conditioning. I mean, he lost a lot of the baby fat coming into this season. But I did not expect him to be as explosive as he was against Auburn as he was. I mean,
he had a lot of splash defensive plays. That first pressure, I was like, is that a screen? Like, did they let him by? Like, did they let him by on purpose? Like, he shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know he was that explosive.
Yeah, he was really explosive. And it's funny, too, that I like the way that George alluded to this, because I think from a fan's perspective, you really do want those sexy plays, right? You want the takedowns, you want the sacks, you want the tackles for loss, you want all the picks and everything else. But George actually came from a ex-coach, ex-player, ex-scout perspective, which is, look, we just need to put pressure on the guy. If we put pressure on the offense, good things will happen on the defensive side of the ball throughout the entire game. So I like that perspective as well.
When you think about it, just say your offensive line and you gave up one sack on the day and not many pressures. You had a pretty good day. But if you're an offensive line that didn't give up any sacks with your quarterback running around the whole day, you don't feel too good about that game. You know what I mean? So, like, as long as they can keep, you know, putting pressure on quarterbacks and getting them off the square, making them move around, you know, it's hard for a quarterback to make plays. You got to be a special quarterback to make plays on the move all the time. So, you know, it ain't many Patrick Mahomes out there. Yeah, so I like the way it's going so far, and I think the sacks will come.
See, I love the way it's going so far, but what have you guys seen so far before we have our guests come on soon? What have you seen so far that you really believe, and I hate to kind of look forward, that really shows that our secondary is pretty much tested? Because now, after we get past Vanderbilt, we're going to get into the crux of our schedule, quite honestly, where you got Florida coming up after that. You got Tennessee. You got Mississippi State. Do you think we have been tested enough on that back end where we'll be able to handle some of these more explosive offenses to be able, quite honestly, to outscore them? I mean, it may be a point where our defense on the back end doesn't really handle the pressure as much as we think that they should or could be able to do. What do you think about that, Graham?
I think that I still have some concerns about deep balls being given up. I think that if you look at the philosophy that Kirby and Schumann and Lanning and Muschamp and all these guys that have been in the program for the last few years have kind of employed, it's pretty much like red zone roulette, right? Like, we'll give up some yards at some points, and we might give up a 40-yard pass, but we're not going to give up a 70-yard touchdown pass. We're going to make the tackle. And I think they feel like if they get into a – it's like the national championship game last year, right? Like, Alabama was inside the 20 and the 25 a lot Yeah. They left that game with, you know, with 18 points. And I think that's really what it's going to come down to. And, you know, Georgia's had some of their own red zone struggles on offense, but you saw on Saturday, like, having a running game makes life a lot easier in the red zone when the field shrinks and the coverages are tighter and the zones are tighter. And, I mean, Georgia didn't attempt a pass in the red zone on Saturday, and they had a 90% success rate on 19 red zone plays. They ran the ball every down they were inside the 20. And
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either.
That's – yeah, like that. That's the type of thing that if they can keep that up – you know, I mean, that's impossible to keep up, right? But if they can stay efficient running the ball in the red zone, then I like their chances to win more of those red zone battles than they lose. And I like the defense's chances to do the same thing.
And I think what crossed my mind in the last couple of days is that the fact that Georgia gets to watch. They get to have film from this weekend of a Tennessee team that we have to facing a similarly structured defense in Alabama. So we have some you know, something to kind of compare with about what Tennessee could do to us. You know what I mean? Because you know different, it's different personnel, but you know, the bases of the defenses are similar. You know what I mean? So I think that'll be a good, you know, you don't get that too often, you know what I mean? To get a good preview like that versus the similar defense. But Tennessee, we get to see what Tennessee does against Alabama. It could give us, you know, a few tips, you know, later on going into that game as well.
What's your thoughts on that, Trey?
My thoughts on I think they did a wonderful job in the red zone, and we always been complaining about the wins, the running game going to get better. When's the O-line going to block better? That game, everything was literally on point with the run blocking and the running backs. Like, we really started to look like the old Georgia again, like just getting the ball down the field.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I didn't even really realize it. I mean, that's a great stat that you brought up, Graham. That's why you are Graham Coffee. But no, that's a great stat. I really did not realize they did not pass the ball inside the red zone, which is – that's a phenomenal stat when you're able to dominate not just SEC competition, but high-level SEC Power Five schools such as Auburn, and you know, in the red zone. It's not like we were playing a Vanderbilt or playing a Missouri that's down or anything like that. You're playing a pretty stout defensive front that, you know, get good recruits themselves. I thought that was pretty interesting. Going back to being challenged on that back end, I mean, I was hoping to be challenged more here in the first six games that we played. I need to see that secondary, and I trust our secondary. I love our safeties. I love the ways that Starks has developed. I love the way that Chris Smith is playing. I love the way Lassiter is playing. But I really want to see the development of Ringo even more, because I don't think he's really been tested. I don't think he's been tested enough to where it's efficient route running, efficient playmakers, anything like that on that defensive side that these guys can really kind of – stretch themselves a little bit, and but we'll see as the season goes
on. They're gonna get tested this last half of this season, I tell you that much.
Yeah,
with at least Tennessee and Mississippi State, they're definitely gonna get tested those games. So we'll see where they at.
Yeah, these guys they're slinging the rock, man. When you look at Tennessee, you look at old Mississippi State, they're slinging it, man. So we're going to have a chance to see our – not only that, you know, we talk about the secondary, but we get a chance to see these guys pin their ears back at the same time. We have no idea what Schumann is willing to dial up and what these guys are willing to dial up on the defensive side, where we see different blitz schemes, different blitz packages. And I really want to see maybe Bill get loose, and I want to see, you know, Nolan get loose. We have no idea. So we'll see what happens as the season goes along, but I just want to touch on that real quick. Let's get into it, though. Let's get into the next game. We got Vanderbilt coming up at Sanford Stadium. It's homecoming week. I looked at them on tape. They're getting better. You know, you gotta give them that. You know, they started off 2-10 last year. They already eclipsed two win totals. They got three this year so far, but they're still not there yet. Graham, what's your thoughts?
I think this is the best quarterback that Georgia's faced since Bo Nix.
Yeah, I agree.
Swan, I mean, they kind of stumbled upon him in September. You know, he didn't start the season as a starter, but they got one. Like, he can throw. He can move the ball. I mean, they scored more on Ole Miss than Kentucky did. I mean, I've been saying for months now that Kentucky's offense is trash, and it is trash. But still, like, this is not like the Vanderbilt that Georgia went and put up like 35 points in the first quarter against last year. Like, I think they are a demonstrably better football team. They play hard for their coach, and I think they have – like, they don't have – the horses to stay with Georgia in this game by any means, but like, they have enough firepower to where if Georgia comes out not focused, turns the ball over, looks like they did against Kent State, that we're all going to be talking for 2 weeks leading up to Florida about what's wrong with Georgia again. You know what I'm saying? Like, Georgia needs to come out and take this game as seriously as they took the one last week.
Yeah, I agree. Just looking at them on tape, I watched first game to the last game, just some highlights and things like that. Originally, my first thought was, man, their offensive line is trash. Then all of a sudden, I started to see the offensive line get better and better, more cohesive. They played Alabama, and I watched – I guess that's the best comparison that we can get, right, is playing against an Alabama team. I think they struggle with a lot of speed. I think they struggle with a lot of power, blitz schemes, keeps those guys off kilter. If we're able to do that and we dial up some things, I think it can cause some confusion for the guys up front, the big guys up front, which will then cause some confusion for Swan. I mean, he is a freshman. He's not very seasoned in the SEC, but he's very poised as a freshman, and he's done quite well in this particular season. But and then having the ability to throw to Shepherd, I think Shepherd has done a phenomenal job. And I mean, he's got 8 touchdowns already as a wide receiver, big kid, 6'3", goes up and gets the rock. They can do some things, and I'm very impressed by what Clark Lee has done so far in terms of transforming that team around. They run the ball pretty well. What's the kid's name? Ray Davis, almost 500 yards rushing so far this year. A little small guy, a little jitterbug type back, 5'9", 205, but he's a really thick kid. Runs well between the tackles. They can do some things with their offense, but I'm like you, Graham. I don't think they have the horses yet to kind of stay in a game with Georgia. Probably a little bit less than what a Missouri may have, where I think Missouri's recruited a little bit better over the last few years than a Vanderbilt. But I just don't think that they have that or have a complete team to be able to really stay around this game. What's up with you, George?
It's Vandy, man. Treat Vandy how you're supposed to treat Vandy. And go home and have dinner. You know what I mean? Go into a bye week and just do it like that. You know what I mean? That's my opinion. You know what I mean? They're definitely better than what they've normally been. You know, they're 3 games away from, you know, a bowl game. I don't know what they have left on the schedule, if they can win any more games. But it's still Vandy. You know, they don't have enough horses. This should be a game where we could, you know, we need to start fast like we started fast at the beginning of the season. You know, start fast, you know, get back to that. And then get some young guys some good reps, you know, headed into a bye week.
What do you think, Trey? Have you done any scouting reports yet on Vandy?
Yeah, I did. Like George said, I wish we can start flat fast, because after the South Carolina game, we've been really the first quarter has not been our friend for the past few games. The first half has not been our friend at all. We didn't start it flat. But I have did some scouting on Vanderbilt. Russell is, to me, he is one of the top wide receivers in the SEC. Like you said, he has 8 touchdowns, close to 500 yards. He's averaging almost 13 yards a catch, 35 receptions. I think he'll be a good test for Ringo.
Yes, sir.
And the other receiver, wide receiver two, he has close to 400 yards. He's averaging 13 yards a catch. He's basically a deep threat because he has a 75-yard touchdown. I think that would be a great test for Lester as well because A.J. Swan is a good quarterback. His completion rating is okay. He hasn't thrown an interception yet, so he doesn't make a lot of bonehead mistakes, if you can say it's that. And you touched on their running back. Their running back just left the team, so I don't know about that one.
Who, Ray? Ray Davis?
Yeah, he left the team this week.
Oh, wow. That's what? News that I didn't know about. Man, breaking news from Trey. Okay. Ear in the street.
When did he leave?
And I want to add another thing I do want
to say. Wait. Why did he leave?
Why did he leave?
No.
I think he just said, I seen what Jordan did to Auburn. Just head out. It ain't my time.
For real, though. If Tank can't get off, what do I do?
That's crazy.
Causing guys to quit before we play them?
Man, look. And this is one of the matchups I scouted on Vanderbilt, too. I didn't know this right here. I didn't know this at all. One day, linebackers literally had 3 interceptions and 4 pass breakups.
Oh, you're talking about the Ricky Wright.
I did not know that. I looked at his film. I'm like, okay,
Mike. Well, you know what? They play him in a weird role. He goes from linebacker to safety, from safety back to linebacker. And that's something I was just about to bring up because we talked about them on the offensive side of the ball. You know, defensively, I mean, it's like Swiss cheese, really.
Yeah.
If you really can't get off offensively on Vanderbilt, to me, then there is some form of problem not having those downfield threats. And again, my biggest comparable would be Alabama with their speed receivers on the outside. They threw a lot of balls deep against Vanderbilt. Now, obviously, they got a pretty good quarterback in Bryce Young, but at the same time, there was a lot of stuff open underneath intermediate routes. I mean, the tight ends were running free across the middle of the field. Wide receivers are running free across the middle of the field. But if you make a mistake, Wright is going to pick that off. Like you said, he's got 3 picks, and he's very opportunistic. He's 6'3", 230, but he runs like a deer, man. You can't tell if he's a safety or a linebacker. So he'll make a good linebacker on that next level.
They got some guys on that roster. They got – and another thing I looked at, Scott, they have a little speedy receiver over there.
Who's that?
I'm about to pull up right now because they have a little fast receiver over there. I think he's like 5'9", about, if I'm not wrong about that.
Are you talking about, is it Bodie?
Yeah, he got that little weird little name.
Like, yeah, Devin Bodie. Oh, no, Jaden McCowan, number 16.
That's him. That's the one that had that 70-yard touchdown.
Yeah, he's a little opportunistic wide receiver. I mean, he's one of those guys, you get him in open space, he can make some guys miss here and there. So, but yeah, it shouldn't be a problem in this game. Let's put it that way. It should be a nice little primer game going into a bye week where some things you can learn about your team, get some things cleaned up, get ready to play Florida on that in 2 or 3 weeks. But again, I want to see a clean game. I want to see one of those games, like you just mentioned, you start off fast. And we have not started off fast, fellas, since Oregon. We really have not. We have not started off in a way that we've been productive in that first quarter where we have the opportunity to get these guys, I guess, backups, extra reps, right? We've had to play guys deep into the third quarter, early into the fourth quarter, mid-fourth quarter. And those guys should be out of the game well by then with the score maybe 42-0, but we haven't had that. So it's going to be interesting.
I feel like a lot of people don't realize just how beat up this Georgia football team is right now.
They're
like,
very beat up. They are very beat up. Very.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I was told last week that Georgia had one, like going into the game last Saturday, Georgia had one linebacker on their roster who wasn't dealing with some sort of injury. One. You got to have 2 at all times. So that's a problem. I thought that position played really, really well. I thought Davis played fantastic.
He played great for a guy that haven't played, that been dealing with injuries for like 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But point being, like, I think that they need this bye week more than a lot of folks are aware.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Trey, what's the update you got on Sakobi?
He told me he's in church right now.
Oh.
Well, yeah, he asked me how long we're going to be in. He gets out of church at 8:15.
Okay, well, Lord come first. So I'm not going to knock him on that one. But just depending on how far we go, I mean, we can always bring him on again. We definitely
I guess he gets out in a few minutes. He said he gets out at 8:15. So that just like a few minutes.
Yeah. I mean, he's a friend of the program. We've been rocking with him for a long time, man. Well before he actually committed. Did some edits for him, did some of his commitment edits, excuse me, and so forth. But getting back to Vanderbilt, getting back to this week, I mean, like you have already mentioned, it's going to be a good week to kind of clean some things
homecoming.
Up. And homecoming. Gee, yeah, I mean, you played during homecoming. What's homecoming like? Let's talk about that.
As a player. It's usually you really don't get to experience it as a player, man. You just, you know, your schedule is the same. You know, nothing changes for you. It's usually an opponent that you can beat up on. You know what I mean? So, sorry, Vanderbilt, you're a homecoming this week. You know, you always hate to be somebody's homecoming. You know, you want to play spoiler, but. I don't think that'll happen this weekend for Dogs. Sorry, I can't. I would love to go up there this weekend, but I won't be able to make it this weekend. So homecoming have to wait another year.
Do they bring through all the ex players, ex coaches? How was that introduced to the players? Is there anything different as it would be for the fans? I mean, for the fans and alumni. I mean, everybody comes back. It's almost a big party, you know, when it comes down to homecoming, but. Anything like that in terms of all the XDGDs coming through?
Well, you have that element all the time. You know what I mean? Last week, that if you see that was posted on the 100 Sample website, you saw Alec Oldtree calling the dog before the game, and you know I saw who else I saw last week? I saw Tyson Browning and Tim Jennings. And, you know, some of those guys, Keelan Johnson, who else was out there? I saw a number of guys. Davin Bellamy was out there. I think Chris Burnett was out there. So a few guys, and that's always the case on every weekend. Kirby through Jonas Jennings does a good job of, catering to the ex-players that want to come up and have a good time on Saturdays. A little tailgate beforehand, and that's every Saturday. And go over and watch the – you either watch the game at the tailgate or go over to the stadium.
So Graham, it's a good deal. What's your thoughts? I mean, you're an alum, you know what I mean? So homecoming, what's it like for alum? You in the stands. I mean, you're there.
I'll be real with you. Like, when I was in college, I didn't really know what weekend was homecoming or not. It was always a party. You know what I mean? SEC football, it's always a celebration of something.
Yes, sir.
Even when Georgia was bad, like, I was in school in 2010 when that was the last losing season Georgia's had. It's the only losing season they've had this millennium. But
yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, it was still a party. It was just a different kind of party. You know what I mean? I guess, you know, I do remember the fun thing about homecoming. Sometimes they have the old cheerleaders on the sidelines, like the old ladies and old guys, and like the old school sweaters and stuff.
Right.
That's kind of fun. But, yeah, I am going on Saturday to cover the game as a credentialed media member for the first time. So I'm excited about that and should have a front row seat for the – you know, see what homecoming festivities happen and report back to you guys next week on what went down. But
hold up, man. Yeah, don't let that slide by. Don't let that slide by for the listeners. Yeah, you threw that in there real slide.
Into the media. Cool.
But go ahead and tell them.
He didn't even get excited, but he just threw it in there real.
No, he got excited when he told us. But go ahead, tell Dog Nation what's going on, man.
I mean, no, just that's it is what I said, right? Like, us through Dog Central and the whole family that we've created with Hundred Sanford and, you know, everybody that we've got involved with that project, we, you know, have developed a loyal following of listeners for, you know, for Hundred Sanford podcasts and a lot of the other projects that we're doing and the community that we've created around Dog Central is I'm just super grateful for everyone that's been involved from a creator standpoint to a customer slash consumer standpoint, the people that are, you know, listening and reading and watching the stuff we make. And, you know, we've developed a nice following and people have started to notice that. And I put in a request for a media credential for this weekend and it was approved, which is super exciting and grateful to UGA and Claude Felton. And, you know, I mean, he's a legend. He's been doing this forever.
Claude.
Yeah.
Sir.
Claude been there since Claude was there before Vince Dooley. It seems like he's been there.
But yeah, we're just, you know, it's an exciting new step and, you know, definitely excited to go and do this on Saturday and, you know, hopefully we'll be covering a lot more, not just football games, but other sporting events in the future. And, you know, we got basketball season on the horizon and all sorts of stuff. So, we want to be your source for all things UGA athletics, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's good. Yes, stuff, sir. Man.
We've been on site. Look at us. Hey, 100 Sanford, man. We're being on site.
That's right.
We're about that'll be our when you go this weekend, that'll be our you were at the first game too though, right? So yeah. You were there, I was there, I went to South Carolina, I went to the game this past weekend, you got this weekend. We in the house.
We're in there. Yeah.
We're in the house.
We're on site.
And you know, just let me know. Let me know. Sometimes I think I'm close by, so maybe I can fill in sometime. Just let me know.
Absolutely.
You know, so
that's good.
Good stuff, man.
Hey, there's something I want to throw with you guys real quick because I was listening to the Sports Junkies that are here in D.C. area, and they have Jonathan Allen that's on the air, and ex-Alabama defensive end and plays for the Washington Commanders, and it was pretty interesting what he brought up. They were asking him about Alabama, and I don't know why they brought up Alabama. He said, hey, did you see that Alabama game? He said, you know, I'll be honest with you. I haven't watched a lot of the games, just being busy and so forth. But he said, quite honestly, though, it's not the same Alabama. He said, I don't know what's up with that team, he said, but it's just not the same. I thought that was a pretty interesting tale on what's happening within that program because, quite honestly, I think we broke them last year. I think had it not been for some of the things that happened, some of the injuries, some of the sicknesses and everything else in the SEC title game, I think we would have won that game, quite honestly. I think that hasn't been reported enough. But what are your thoughts on that? You think are we starting to see a little chink in the armor of Alabama? Are they starting to – how long do we see Saban? How long is he around? I know they're recruiting at a high level, but I don't think –
I think they're built differently now. You know, still very talented, uber talented. I think they're built differently now. I don't think they're getting all of the trench dogs that they used to get. And that was always the biggest difference between Alabama and just from my perspective, everyone else, but more importantly, Georgia. When I was literally look at them side by side, you know, able to do a comparison. There was just no question that Bama was king at, you know, getting and recruiting those guys up front, whether it's offensive line and D-line. And Georgia couldn't compete. Now Georgia can. Georgia's probably taking over in that regard as far as getting those guys up front on both sides of the ball, and they probably are better than, you know, from man to man for man, they probably are recruiting better than Alabama is up front right now. That was the main thing with Bama. Also, Bama, you know, they had to get, you know, Gibbs. He was a transfer. Outside of Gibbs, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think they have that, you know, that straight up, you know, monster in the backfield. You know what I mean? They used to have surefire one or two. I don't know how these guys are rated now, but they were undoubtedly first round guys in that back end, you know, for Bama, like year after year after year. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's the case right now. So they're built different. You know what I mean? So for him to say they're not the same Bama team, that is different, and that's true. You know, it's true.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's probably more about how they're built than anything.
That's a good assessment. I like the way you said that, how they're built. I didn't really look too deep into what they're doing down in the trenches. You know, obviously you look at Will Anderson, he's able to get off. You got Dallas Turner, who's able to get off. I mean, those guys, they track quarterbacks. I mean, they're quarterback killers, quite honestly. On the back end, there is no Patrick Surtain there. There isn't. You got Kool-Aid, who was supposed to be the next guy, but he's not that guy. I mean, he's an average cornerback right now, average defensive back who's opportunistic at times, makes some plays. But I agree, I think, with you on that, where all over the field, they're just not the same team. And I also think he was talking about maybe a mental perspective. You know, there was one time when you used to go into Alabama, and it was like kind of like what we are now. I'm not going to say without family, because I'm not that deep into Alabama football to know if they're family-oriented or not. I would say more New England Patriot mindset than anything, where it was everybody do their job, shut up and do your job, have fun off the field if you want. But I think for Georgia, it's more of a collective family group, family atmosphere, do it for your brother, you know, that type of thing. But I think at Alabama now, I just think you got a bunch of guys that are talented. You got Nick Saban running the ship. You got him holding things together, where that much talent put together is still going to make some things happen. But yet, if push comes to shove, do you have the mental fortitude to stay in big games when you need to stay in big games? And can you win those big games? And I think it's going to be very telling coming up here. You got Tennessee coming up for Alabama. They got some big games coming up throughout the remainder of the season. But when they get to another Georgia game, maybe an SEC title game, can they eclipse Georgia again? I don't know. I can't see a different team.
So you're just dealing with a different type of kid too. It's just, you know, Georgia, if I'm 18, 17, 18 in 2022, I'm going to Georgia. If you line up all the schools and see what's more attractive to an 18-year-old, 17-year-old in 2022, Georgia's very attractive. They have a younger coach. Kirby's not 50 yet. He's probably a couple. So I played with Kirby, so Kirby's probably 47, you know, so it's, you know, you got a younger coach, younger culture, you know what I'm saying? But they get that, you know, they get the butter from the duck, you know what I mean? They'll work you, you know what I'm saying? But it looks like a good time. What were you saying, Graham?
I mean, I think what I'm about to say is an oversimplification, but like, I think it's a decent take, I guess, is that the biggest difference between Georgia and Alabama right now is that when Kirby Smart was at Alabama, you know, their goal was to hold you to 13 points a game every year. when Kirby Smart left Alabama, you know, Saban started saying, hey, like, this is the modern era. This is the modern game. You're going to give up points. And, you know, we're focused on being an offensive football team. And, I mean, Lane Kiffin's a brilliant football mind, and he hired Lane Kiffin, and Lane Kiffin modernized that offense. And, I mean, he did things with some of those quarterbacks that – I mean, he won a title with Jacob Coker, right? Like,
yeah, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not knocking that, but I think, like, what happened is that the thing that made Alabama so dominant was what George was talking about. Like, that line of scrimmage football and that suffocating defense, like, it erased uncertainty. Like, it killed the number of variables in every single football game to where – you know, you're as an opponent, you are always setting up in bad field position. Like, you have to drive the field. You're not going to get explosive plays. And there's just not many college football teams that can do that. I think now you've got a Georgia football team whose goal is still to give up 13 points a game. And they refuse to accept that just because the modern spread offensive attacks have started to kind of proliferate their way throughout college and the NFL and in high schools as well, like that changes the standard of good defense. And I think at the end of the day, like if the bar is set higher in one place, then you're going to reach higher. And, you know, I highly doubt that Nick Saban sits in film sessions and says like, oh, it's okay, we gave up this touchdown because, you know, we don't worry about giving up touchdowns. But there's just a mentality that comes with, like, you're not going to score on us that's very different. And it also – it comes over to the offensive side of the ball as well, too. Like, you know, I think your offense, if you're Georgia, you know, you haven't had that transcendent level, like, number one pick quarterback, but – football, especially in the SEC, is still one on the line of scrimmage. And, you know, Alabama for the last couple seasons has been relying on a very good quarterback to bail out a very bad offensive line. And, you know, and he's hurt right now. Like, and it's I don't think that's sustainable, the recipe that they're kind of cooking with right now. Eventually, if you have an offensive line that allows pressure, eventually pressure bust pipes. And I think, you know, Georgia's kind of trending in the right way up front. Alabama, still so-so. And, I mean, as great a player as Will Anderson is, like, we're seeing teams scheme up how to deal with him differently this year than last year. And, you know, he's not coming in and creating all these big havoc plays and, you know, creating one or two turnovers a game. And I think, like, it's just interesting. We'll see how it goes. But I think that Alabama is kind of dependent on, like, explosive plays on offense and turnover luck on defense. And if if you're like Ringo and you can run down Cameron Latu and tackle him on the five and play red zone roulette like we were talking about earlier, then, you know, a team like Georgia, you can get Alabama because – you got enough speed on the back end to not let those wide receivers get behind you for these long touchdown catches. And the other thing that we tried to say all offseason is Jermaine Burton is not Jameson Williams. There ain't a Jameson Williams on that team. There's not even a Mechie on that team.
Nope.
And, you know, they had very, very transcendently elite wide receiver play last year. And
yeah, last few years. Right, last few years, don't.
Yes, yeah. I mean, really going back to that class with – Ruggs and Devontae Smith and all those guys in 2016. So,
you know, when it's funny when you mention the offense and they're transcending going from a power offense to a more explosive offense underneath Lane Kiffin, it kind of looks like that on defense as well, right? It's almost like they want to make splash plays on offense, but it's almost like their defense wants to make splash plays, and they haven't dealt with more of the fundamental aspects of owning the trenches like George talked about. And then it actually kind of morphs out to the back end, right? You don't have that. You got a bunch of guys that just want to make splash plays. You got a Will Anderson. You got, like I said, a Dallas Turner is able to get off on guys. But on that back end and everywhere else, it's like guys just want to make the play versus making
Where are the stud linebackers that they always have?
Especially in the middle.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they used to have some, like, studs in there. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know if they have those guys anymore. That used to be a big difference as well.
I agree. It's been a long time since they had those guys. But with that being said, man, let's transition onto this week coming up. We're actually going to reschedule with Sikovi. We're going to reschedule with Sikovi. So he'll come on next week. But let's talk about Alabama. They play Tennessee this week. We'll give our predictions on a couple games before we give our prediction on Georgia. What's your thoughts against in that game, Alabama, Tennessee? Who wins that game? Trey, I'll go to you first. You're on mute, bro.
I'm going to go with Bama on that game because Tennessee gave up 400 yards to – I know Florida fans are support. I'm going to say it like this. Tennessee gave up 400 yards passing to AR.
I didn't realize that.
And then gave up 300 yards to Jaden Daniels. So if Bryce plays this D, you got to look at it. Bryce is, don't get me wrong, Bama wide receiving core has not been up to par, but Florida wide receiving core is not elite like that.
Right.
And AR threw for 400 yards, and he struggled against Missouri, against UCF, and against Utah. But he has one of the fantastic games of his career against Tennessee. So I think Bryce is going to do well in that game just off alone that strength of Tennessee secondary. And Tennessee secondary gives up over 300 yards a game.
Okay.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's
how much
they give up a game is 300 passing yards.
What do you got on that, G?
That's a tough one, man. It's just like Bama had been playing like close to what they usually are. You know, it'll be a no-brainer pick for me. Where's the game? Rocky Top.
Yeah.
3:30. If it was, I wish it was at nighttime. Cause if it was, Bama would not. I don't think Bama would escape out of there alive at nighttime.
Yeah.
Let me say, that's a tough one, Lamar.
I know. Especially when he throws in there Bryce Young, and then he throws in there, you know, the whole aspect.
And one more thing. George probably gonna pick Bama after this. Tennessee record against a top 10 team is 0-39.
Damn. That's a nice stat for you. Let me say. I want to pick Tennessee so bad. I feel like Bama's going to deploy Jahmyr Gibbs. I feel like Gibbs is going to go off. That being said, I'm picking Tennessee this weekend. I think they ride some momentum being at home. I don't think, put it like this, if Young was close to being okay last week, I think he plays. Which leads me to believe they put it like this. They weren't gonna rest him unless they had to.
Right.
I feel like they had to last week. which leads me to believe he's not going to be 100% this week. And I feel like that's going to be a problem for Alabama. You know, so I'm going to pick Tennessee to win that one.
I'm going with you. I know Trey threw out a lot of different things in terms of Tennessee. The pass defense, 0-39. But they're at home. Josh Heupel. They got fans that are supporting the team. They got everybody behind them. Heck, they probably got half the nation behind them that everybody wants Alabama to get knocked off because it's Alabama. And then you still got Bryce Young coming back off of an AC sprain, joint sprain in the shoulder. And if he's 100%, is it a different Bryce Young? Is it a different Alabama offense? I agree with you. I think it definitely is. But I don't think anybody comes back 100% no matter who you are from an injury, especially in a big-time game. Heck, you got people from Tennessee, some old Yokel Jokel fans, calling for them to land on his shoulder a little bit extra and throw it down in the dirt and get him up out of there, get old boy out of there. But I don't know. I just feel like Tennessee's going to win this game. I think it's going to set up a pretty epic matchup between Tennessee and Georgia at Georgia when that game comes to town, and I'm looking forward to it. So I'm taking Tennessee. I think the spread is 7.5 for Alabama, which is crazy, too, on the road. I mean, that's really – you're saying they're going to beat them by 10. So you get three just for being home team.
Wish if they lead receiver was playing, I'd pick them. I would pick them because that's another level to their offense they will have for that
game. I agree.
But I don't think he's gonna play. He's still coming off ankle surgery.
Right.
I don't think he's gonna play.
I don't know. I just trust Heupel in his offense. He schemes up a lot of good stuff, man. I like his offense. So we'll see what happens. Another big game before we get to our game and give our little prediction and get up out of here is Penn State and Michigan. That should be a good one, man. That's gonna play a lot into the Big Ten title. A Big 10, Big 11, Big 12, Big 13, whatever they call themselves up there. What do you think about that game? Is it important right now in terms of college football, or is it not?
It is for Michigan.
It's very important. To Michigan, it is. It's very important.
Michigan's been playing pretty decent, too. I mean, I think that they've gotten a little bit more consistent. I think after we kicked them in the teeth last year, they had to go back – look at themselves in the mirror and say, are we really as tough as what we need to be after playing a Georgia team that, again, was legendary in itself? But still, I think that they play a lot tougher than what they played last year. I've watched a few games with Michigan. Consistent quarterback play. I mean, I think McCaffrey? Can't remember the quarterback's name.
I think it's McCarty.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a little bit up and down, but it's a little bit more consistent quarterback for Michigan. I don't trust Penn State. I don't care where the game is, home or away. I just don't trust the coaching. I don't trust overall playmaking skill sets of Penn State. I'm going Michigan in this game, quite honestly.
Michigan's a better team. Now you got to go Michigan.
I'll go Michigan. Penn State is very young. Very young.
Yeah.
Very young.
And I like Franklin. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but in big games, he just has not coached well. Which brings us to our game. We got Georgia, Vanderbilt at home, homecoming. If Graham were here, I'm sure he'd probably say 55-3, something like that. But what's your thoughts before we get up out of here on that game? What's your prediction? Yeah. I'm surprised G didn't say 106-7 like he said.
We're talking, I say we're going to get them 42-3.
42-3. What you got, Trey?
63-10.
63? 10. Dang. Okay. We're going up over 60. I'm going 55-13. I think they put up 50 on this team. Everybody else has. I think Alabama went over 50. Ole Miss went over 50. And I think at home against Vanderbilt, they should be able to put up 50 at least, even with the backups. And I think I think we clean up some things and then go into this bye week healthy, you know, getting healthy for Florida and getting ready for the cocktail party down there. So excited by that. But fellas, before we get up out of here, anything else anybody want to talk about?
Do you think Georgia can repeat?
Whoa, that's a good question.
Really?
I think they can. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they're definitely – Georgia's got the most talent in the nation. There's no doubt about that. When you look at this team healthy, A.D. Mitchell, Arian Smith, yes, those two guys in the lineup, they repeat. There's no doubt about it. I think that the absence of that speed on the outside is why receivers hurt this offense tremendously. When you got burners who can stretch the field the way that these guys stretch the field and route runners, and I know everybody wants to say just get the ball to Ladd, get the ball to Bowers. Those you can scheme up.
You need them guys.
Right. Exactly.
They know Brock and Ladd do what they do best.
Exactly. You can kind of scheme them out of the game. The good defense, according to this, good teams, can scheme them out. But I think once these guys get healthy, yes, I think they can repeat. They got to get it'll be okay.
And I think Kirby and company are playing it just like that. They trying to do the best they can with the roster as is, while being smart and thinking about the big picture. So I think they definitely can repeat. Even if you would like to say that this team is not as good as last year's team, I think they can repeat because I don't see any other team as good as last year's team. Thanks. You know, like there's no clear cut, just, you know, juggernaut this year in college football, in my opinion. So
everybody Ohio State is the juggernaut team because they, you know, their offense always put up points.
Yeah, but you got to be able to play defense too.
Yeah, that's true too. And Ohio State is known for not playing defense, which you can see what Michigan did. What Michigan did, old fashioned, beat them ground and pound. Really.
Facts.
Yeah.
Facts.
I think Georgia's probably built, if they can get a few people back, you know, Georgia's probably built to repeat. So
I think we're losing George. I think we're losing him.
Yeah. I was just gonna ask.
Did you lose?
Oh, yeah, we lost you for a second.
The most important question of the night. Go ahead and finish, George.
Say what now?
No, I'm gonna let you finish. Now I'm gonna ask the most important question of the night.
You go. Ask.
The most important question of the night. We all know this. We kind of been disappointed by why. We haven't even paid attention to it. Clemson has not threw a touchdown in three games. So how many touchdowns will he throw Saturday against Vandy?
Man, that's another – you threw out another stat, man, because I haven't really thought about stats and throwing
touchdowns. We haven't been paying attention to that. So he's still picking up the yards. Like, he's still getting 300 to 250 yards a game. So really ain't paid that much attention. Cause
I think he throws two touchdowns.
I'm going three touchdowns. I'm going three. If I'm picking 55, you know, 55-13, I'm definitely going three touchdowns. Big plays, you know.
I just think Vanderbilt's not going to be able to stop the rush of my game, and he won't have to. You won't have to sling it around in the red zone.
Facts. What's your thoughts, Trey, before we get up out of here on that?
I'm probably going to go with three or four. Three. Okay. And I give my rushing touchdown. Because it seems like that's another crazy stat. I think Stetson had almost every game he done had a rushing touchdown.
I prefer him not to run. Let's.
Hey, as long as he learn how to slide, I'm cool with it. But he
gotta learn how to slide first. He got to learn how to slide. And Stetson, he got a lot of heart. He got a lot of moxie. Man. He got a lot of guts. But he has to realize how important he is to the success of this team moving forward.
Yes. Because
it's not like last year where you had JT Daniels, who could probably still come in and modify, you know, do some things with this offense, especially slinging the ball around. But I trust Carson to be able to man the ship if he had to. But still, it's a different element when you got Stetson back there and his legs and his ability to escape the pocket.
That's why they chose him over JT. I guess we can say how many total yards he gonna have. How many total yards he gonna have this Saturday?
I think last week on Prize Picks, it was what, 275, 278
Man, passing and run. And that was rushing. Advanced.
Yeah, it was.
I hit on Prize Kick.
I think that was just passing. It was like 278 just passing. And I think it was over 330 rushing and passing. So, yeah. I don't know. I think that I think Stetson just has a good day. I think the whole team has a good day. We stay consistent. No, you know, everything's clean. And like I said, three touchdown passes, probably over 250, 260 passing, maybe 25 yards rushing, something like that. But I think he stays clean.
I give him total yards. I give him close to 420 to 430 total.
My Lord. Stetson by himself?
But look, Stetson had close to almost 400 total yards last week.
Yeah.
Remember he was already scrambling. I think he had scrambled like a good 20 yards before he did that 60-yard run. And he had close to 210 passing. So you got to look at it. Boom, that's almost 400 right there, Kevin.
I got you. All right, well – hey, man, we talked enough about these guys. Again, congratulations to Roderick Robinson. Like I said, the running back out of San Diego, California, and also Sakovi White, who was supposed to be on the show tonight, but he is going to be rescheduled for next week, so we appreciate him for that. But before we get out of here, you know what? Got to say what we always say. Go Dawgs. See you on your Sanford.
Go Dawgs.
Thank you for listening to the 100 Sanford Podcast. Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford Podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then as news breaks. You can also follow the content on our website, www.100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dawgs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach out to us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's @100Sanford, but on IG, TikTok, Facebook, and other accounts, it's 100 Sanford Podcast. All right, folks, that's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Sanford.